Why call it the American world order at all? The United States has certainly not shaped the international environment by itself. Many other peoples, as well as broad historical forces, the evolution of science and technology, fluctuations in the availability of natural resources, long-term economic trends, population growth, have also created today's world. Peoples on every continent have worked and suffered to lift themselves out of poverty and destruction and to make a better life for themselves and their children. The world is too big for any nation to shape by itself. Nevertheless, in any given historical period, the most powerful nations do put their own particular stamp on the international order, if only by virtue of their relative weight in the system. They establish many of the norms and rules of international behavior. They shape the nature of economic relations. They can even have influence in the realm of ideas and beliefs, including the way peoples worship their gods and the forms of government they consider legitimate. For many centuries, the predominant power of China shaped the way millions of people throughout Asia thought, spoke, worshipped, painted, and carried on their commerce. In the 19th century, the great European powers imposed standards of international and domestic behavior not only for Europeans, but for millions throughout Africa, Asia, and Latin America. There has been an Egyptian order, a Roman order, a Greek order, an Islamic order, a Mughal order, an Ottoman order, and many others. And historians will undoubtedly view the period from the end of World War II until some yet-to-be-determined moment as an American order. Yet, it has also been the American order in a more specific sense. It is not just that the United States has been the most influential power in the international system. The most important features of today's world, the great spread of democracy, the prosperity, the prolonged great power peace, have depended directly and indirectly on power and influence exercised by the United States. No other power could have or would have influenced the world the way Americans have, because no other nation shares, or has ever shared, their peculiar combination of qualities. Some of the most important qualities are obvious. America's unique geographical circumstances, its capitalist economic system, its democratic form of government, and its enormous military power have together shaped a particular kind of international order that would have looked very different had another nation with different characteristics wielded a similar amount of influence. Less easy to grasp, but just as important to understanding the nature of the American world order, is the complex character of the American people. This is no simple paean to Americans' superior virtues. Some portray Americans as far-seeing builders of international institutions and structures of liberal order, as thoughtful operators and managers of vast global systems. But few Americans, and few non-Americans, would recognize this portrait. In most respects, Americans are like any other people, with a blend of selfishness and generosity. More than most, they have been a people of contradictory impulses and a most ambivalent view of what role, if any, they ought to play in the world. They are a people rife with potent national myths that both inspire and mislead them. Start with the fact that one of the most powerful, influential, and expansive peoples in history still think of themselves as aloof, passive, self-contained, and generally inclined to minding their own business. In less than two centuries, Americans transformed their nation from a sliver of settlement clinging to a coastline into a globe-girdling superpower with historically unparalleled power and influence. Yet to hear Americans tell it, they are the Greta Garbo of nations. They just want to be left alone. In their national mythology, the two centuries-long subjugation of the North American continent, a region inhabited by Spaniards, French, and Russians, as well as by an entire race of indigenous peoples, was not conquest, but the peaceful settlement of an empty frontier. Americans do not go abroad in search of monsters to destroy, is the oft-quoted phrase of John Quincy Adams. If someone points out to them that they have indeed often done just that, then they portray themselves as the reluctant sheriff, their boots on the desk, reading the newspaper, until some unsavory gang rides into town and forces them to pull their rifle off its rack, whether Japanese imperialists, Nazis, Soviet communists, or Islamic jihadis. "The United States of America never goes to war because we want to," said one prominent politician a few years ago. "We only go to war because we have to."